From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're Talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, elections and runoff elections are great things because things come out that voters would have not known otherwise. We've got some of those stories and more from the Texas campaign stack. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with the drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. The Texas presses its attack on conservatives stepping up to stop discriminatory DEI on college campuses. So far, this looks to be a battle not going the libs' way. And an update on the Trump trial that began today and lawfare in action. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. A lot to get to. Going to tell you that this Saturday, the 20th, will be the last performance of 33 AD from our friends at the Ragtown Gospel Theater. I've seen it several times. I really do like it. It's about the most serious, according to playwright Chip Polk, most serious, thought-provoking, you know, rather deep play they've ever done in their 18 seasons. And I truly liked it. This Saturday, get your tickets at ragtown.com, my friends. Be the last in this, the last in the performances. And then later in the year, there'll be other new performances. My friends, I went to see a movie I didn't even know was really out, but read, I don't know, many dozens of reviews before the movie, before going. Went Saturday with my wife, Isabel, and I went to our favorite place out at the Stars and Stripes Drive-In Theater in Lubbock. And saw our great friend Ryan Smith, the owner out there, had a good visit with Ryan. Went and saw Civil War. Now, I could spend an hour talking about this. I'm just going to say this. No matter what I say, there are going to be a lot of people going, and they're not going to like it, and they're going to be disappointed and not understand it. That's just the way it is, I understand. Most of the reviewers, even the ones who thought they got it, didn't get it. It's not a movie about the heroism of war correspondents. Those are it's a perfect thing. They're our eyes, because that's what they are, right? They're the eyes in warfare. This is an American Civil War. So many of the reviews, well, they don't tell you who to root for and what the causes are and all this. Oh, there are some hints during it, but these people, they're just intellectually bereft, and they have to have a black and white, you know, hero here, bad guy here, and have the people tell them who to root for. If you're that kind of person, you're not going to like it. It is brilliantly done. I didn't know about this director. Apparently, he's pretty famous. It was brilliantly done. In the last 10 or 15 years, I've seen very few films that actually were films, meaning a director used the medium to its best to tell the story. Not just showing things, you know. Some things are better written, some things are better read. Every medium has its strength. People like Scorsese really understand that. There are not that many of those people around anymore. I'll just tell you, if you want something, my interpretation is, there's a reason you don't need to know which side and all that stuff, and what all the issues are. But what you need to understand is what they're pointing out is sometimes we get a little too rah-rah about, well, we just need to fight. We need to wipe these people out. Civil War. War is horrible. And it doesn't matter what kind of war, but Civil War is particularly horrible. And this movie does a really good job of showing you that. Now, it also doesn't tell you that all war is bad. Sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes it's what must be done. And there is a little hint in this for all the idiot reviewers. It's, well, we don't know who to root for. Wait a minute. President's in his third term. Obviously, somebody wouldn't leave power and use the military to shore themselves up. So there is a little more. They just weren't quick enough to catch it. But it's a good movie, and it was great fun out at the Stars and Stripes. As always, we had dinner there. I love the chicken strip basket. Still priced better than all the restaurants. The food's great. So if you can, get out and see that Civil War. And Saturday, again, at the Ragtown Gospel Theater, get out and see the last performance of 33 AD coming up. All right, my friends, we've got a lot of news to get to. The suspect in that deadly crash that we reported on Friday into the Brenham DPS office is charged, facing $2 million bail. His name is Clennard Parker, 42. One person died in that. 13 others were injured. Terrible deal. As I told you Friday, they said apparently he was there and they wouldn't renew his commercial driver's license. And now he, I think, stole this truck, if what I remember right, and then turned it right into the office. We learned from Fox Houston, Fox 26, that he has previous arrests going back to 1999, including cases for criminal trespass, arson, and prohibited weapons. So he had a pretty big rap sheet, this guy. Marine arrested in Texas after stealing over $500,000 in jewelry. Fox News' Stephen Soares reporting that Marcelo Majid Hernandez, 18, apparently still lives with his parents in Cyprus, where the heists took place. He, back in October, big heist at David Yurman Jewelry and then the Helzberg Diamonds on April 5th. They caught him. He had $500,000 of jewelry on him at the time and a lot of other things. Fort Worth Episcopal priest has been arrested and accused of online solicitation of a minor. This is Trinity Church in Fort Worth. And they say associate rector, it's the associate head pastor, Reverend Jason Myers, 43, arrested in Collin County. And church doesn't think it involves anybody there. The Episcopals, I just want to ask, how can this be wrong? I mean, if the Bible doesn't mean what it says on sexual perversion, how can this be wrong? I just want to know. You guys have abandoned so much of the direct, I mean, absolute, beyond question scripture. I don't know. How are you going to handle this in the church side of it, in the church courts with the canon and everybody? It either means what it says, God's word means what it says, or it doesn't, or it's not his word. Mom arrested after taking a cruise and leaving three kids home alone. I kid you not, out of Houston. Houston woman's been charged. She left a 6 and 8-year-old at home for 5 days while she went on a cruise ship. Lakeisha Woods Williams, 29, said, well, she thought she was supervising. She had a camera, you know, one camera in the house that could see an area. The law in Texas doesn't specify an age which a child can be left at home alone, but inadequate supervision can be a type of neglect. And the state says leaving a child in which situation where they could be harmed because the situation requires judgment or actions beyond the child's level of maturity, physical condition, or mental abilities is neglectful supervision. And this woman, I mean, how stupid, leaves a 6 and 8-year-old at home, goes, takes a cruise. Texas, well, should it be, again, Fort Worth University, otherwise known as TCU, evacuate several buildings today due to a gas. They evacuated several buildings due to a gas leak on campus this morning. And Tesla planning to lay off 10% of its workers after a bad first quarter, Q1, in sales. And they employ 140,000 workers or something, it says here in this AP story. That could be 14,000. Across the company, including a lockdown in that big factory in Austin. U.S. did finally award, Reuters reports, the Biden administration's awarding up to $6.4 billion in grants to Samsung for expanding its chip production in Central Texas. That not only includes the new huge fabs in Taylor, but also expanding its Austin semiconductor facility. And DFW Airport has fallen to number 3 busiest in the world, 3rd busiest. The number 2 is now Dubai's international airport. Of course, the big airport in Atlanta is still number 1. An iconic Texan has passed away. I'll tell you about that and more in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
Many have heard my Proud on Texas broadcast from the offices of Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica. Over a decade, many listeners have acted to save money while getting the highest level of dental care available. I'm not kidding about the trip being like a free vacation. In many cases, two of you can fly, stay, dine, shop, and take adventures to beaches, rainforests, volcanoes, and more, and have top quality dental work done for less than just the dental work for only one person at home. Turn that unpleasant expense into a memorable adventure. Click on the Dental Care banner at proudontexas.com.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Oil magnate Herbert Hunt, brother of famed Lamar Hunt, has died at 95 years of age. The Dallas Morning News tells us that oil wildcatter W. Herbert Hunt, a scion of the Hunt Oil Dynasty, who left a massive business and philanthropic footprint in Dallas and across the state, has died at 95, became one of the world's most prominent oil barons and investors throughout his seven-decade career, following his father's lead along with brothers Nelson Bunker Hunt and Lamar Hunt to form Petro Hunt. Growing rich, that's a big fossil fuel company, good oil company, gas company, and East Texas and all that. And then, well, anyway, they just grew it everywhere. Now, Forbes estimated Herbert Hunt's net worth at $5.3 billion this year, mostly from ownership of Petro Hunt Company that has oil patch holdings and operations in Texas, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. Hunt used his fortune in oil to grow the footprint well outside the energy industry, a lot of diversification into land purchases, including very major developments that have shaped so many of our newer cities in the North Texas area, Richardson, Plano, Forney, eight other places. Of course, also the Hunt brothers, he was part of that deal trying to corner the silver market way back, and they all went broke, and then they rebuilt it. So another one of the Hunts is no longer with us. Herbert Hunt, brother of Lamar Hunt, dead at 95. Workers, this is funny to me. I found it at the Public Media Texas Standard. Workers at Houston's Night Owls print shop unionized. But they unionized and did it all before they even knew the business had been sold, which made it all worthless. It's so funny. Apparently, punk and indie musicians are popular with this group. And they're claiming these people took union-busting techniques or whatever. Eric Solomon, who founded and owned this Night Owls with his wife, said they were blindsided by any insinuation of overworked and unhappy employees. He said most full-time employees didn't even work a whole 40-hour week by choice, and he described it as nearly a come-and-go-as-you-please type of arrangement. He also shared documentation showing their employees over a five-month period worked an average of more than 30, just over 37 hours a week at $18 an hour. So they weren't even working full 40-hour weeks. This whole union movement stuff is so stupid. But they voted to formalize, become affiliated with the Communication Workers of America. But before the newly formed union could enter into collective bargaining, they found out from somebody outside the company that it's been sold, a company in Phoenix, Arizona. I just think that's hilarious. And last week there was a story I didn't have time to bring you, but there's follow-up on it. And I just laugh because it's more the stench of local government and how they do things on their own that they don't allow you to do, and they get caught in it, and they're incompetent so often. Dallas has a big 11-story office tower they bought and remodeled to house the headquarters for the city workers, who the whole department that does nothing but issue permits, you know, building permits, occupancy permits, all this stuff. Well, they were almost all moved in. I think it was last week. I had it in the stack. And they had to leave. They had to abandon the building. Why? Well, we've learned from the Dallas Morning News that they never actually had a full occupancy permit of its own. And I guess the fire marshal's people hadn't signed off on it. And isn't that just typical? Absolutely typical. They just were going to move in without it. Of course, you do it, it's a big thing, and they come after you. All right, my friends, let's talk a little bit about this lawfare that's being used, the courts being used to try to settle political arguments. The big story, historic, first time a former president of the U.S. is facing a criminal trial, and it's all hokum. Doesn't mean paying hush money is a good thing, but it's not illegal, and that's part of the problem with this case. President Trump on trial again in New York today. But this involves all of us everywhere. I mean, they've tried this in Texas. Texans have tried this against Ken Paxton. No, I'm not talking about the impeachment. That's political process. I'm not talking about that other thing where they dropped all the charges. I'm talking about where the just as they're doing in the West Coast, the bunch of liberal lefties that dominate the boards of directors or of the state bar, meaning the group that licenses and disciplines lawyers, they've gone after Paxton, and it's pure lawfare. And now a national coalition of state attorneys general have filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court of Texas in support of Paxton's top deputy, First Assistant Attorney General Britt Webster. The AG's office says it's a blatant case of politically motivated lawfare launched by the State Bar of Texas. I absolutely agree. That is a proper description of it. Politically motivated lawfare. Case came about when Webster and General Paxton filed litigation, Texas versus Pennsylvania, regarding the 2020 election. And the Lawyer Discipline Committee attempted to censure the Attorney General. He's an elected official. He can stand up for what he wants. And First Assistant Attorney General Webster for taking action over genuine concerns of unconstitutional conduct by states in the 2020 election. In a move regarded as political retaliation, the state bar claimed that Texas had made misrepresentations in the course of the lawsuit and initiated disciplinary action. Those allegations were actually dismissed. Then the organization, they wanted to pile on. They said, oh, no, we're going to keep pushing, appealed it to the Texas Supreme Court, and that's where it is. Well, it appears that 18 states' attorneys general have signed this brief. I've read it. And they make some really good points in it. In fact, not reading from the Attorney General's press release, but reading from the other 18 Attorney General offices around the country, here's what they said. First, the independently elected Attorney General has broad discretion in the exercise of his or her constitutional duties. Second, the Attorney General is accountable to the people. There's only one way to divest him of discretion the state constitution confers on him, and that's to remove him from office. Third, any attempt by the judiciary or by entities subject, by the way, you don't have to be an attorney to be the attorney general, but the first assistant does, see, so they're going after Webster big time. Third, any attempt by the judiciary or entities subject to the judiciary's control to restrict the attorney general's discretionary choices interferes with the exercise of the AG's constitutional authority and violates fundamental separation of powers principles. And they write, yet around the country, political adversaries seek to limit the discretionary choices elected attorney generals are allowed to make. The means they've selected to do so are novel. Invoking rules of professional conduct, they complain to the state bar that certain discretionary choices are unacceptable and deserving of discipline. In other words, things they disagree with. In other words, the political adversaries eschew the ballot box and ask state judiciaries or state bars to be final arbiters of discretionary constitutional choices by attorneys general. Neither the state bar nor this court is an appropriate forum for what is ultimately a political fight. And while it is, of course, true that the attorney general is subject to general rules of professional conduct, those rules cannot be used to limit discretionary authority conferred by a state constitution, nor can they be weaponized to undermine the will of the voters who elected the attorney general in the first place. So this is before the Texas Supreme Court, and it all comes out of the state bar. Now, remember, just recently, other states have disbarred lawyers who are constitutional scholars simply because they represented Trump and held a legal position with which these leftists that are running these quasi-private, quasi-public entities like a state bar, they disagree with the position. So they just go after people's law license. This is the death of the country. You're watching the institutions be perverted to an extent that it's historic and it's deadly to the country. Now, the same thing is happening with what's going on with President Trump today in a Manhattan courtroom. I mean, even that district attorney had scoffed at bringing these charges until he was shamed by a bunch of other leftist Democrat people to bring it back. It's a sad day in our country when people will do this kind of thing.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having big fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at amazingly affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Lunch at Narrow Bar, downtown Lubbock, is like taking a lunchcation. Quality food, priced right and served fast, Narrow Bar gives an appreciation for the new downtown Lubbock. Narrow Bar is modern, beautiful, and has one of the nicest outdoor dining spaces in the Hub City. Experience your lunchcation today. Tell them to meet you at Narrow Bar, facing Broadway on the ground floor of McDougal Plaza, 1500 Broadway, and opening at 11 a.m. NarrowBar.com.
Standing in spirit with those who won Texas liberty and working to stop the hordes on the left. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So what are these charges against Donald Trump? Hayden Cunningham at Postmillennial says that the 34 felony counts, they're just, all that's happened is the DA elevated what are actually misdemeanor charges to the level of a felony by claiming the misdemeanors were committed in service to a greater crime, really. But he hasn't said what that felony crime is, which is kind of hard to, don't know how you charge somebody in the U.S. that way. Bragg, this DA, alleges Trump falsified business records, and that's the crime, by the way, entering in an agreement for somebody and paying them for them not to say anything like that, and this Stormy Daniels or whatever may or may not have happened is not illegal. They claim that he falsified business records during the 2016 campaign when he classified payments made to his attorney, Michael Cohen, as legal fees. The DA contends that Cohen then used the funds to pay off media companies to kill a story about a porn star that Trump's alleged to have an affair with. He says he didn't. Now, Hillary Clinton was charged with the same crime of falsifying business records, though her case, that's the only illegal part. Falsifying business records, but in her case, the legal fees were used to pay off an opposition research firm for creating that Steele dossier, which alleged that Trump had colluded with Russia to steal the election. Clinton was just fined by the administrative body that handles elections, $8,000. No charges, no trial. Prosecutors allege Trump had his lawyer Cohen pay this Stormy Daniels $130,000 to keep quiet about the alleged affair with him prior to his days in politics. The affair had taken, they claim, before he was in politics. Okay, well, they just, of the 34 counts, 11 are related to checks issued to Cohen. Another 11 stem from the monthly invoices Cohen sent to Trump's company, and 12 are associated with entries in Trump's trust's general ledger. This means the 34 counts represent multiple charges for the same funds, the same thing. It's the first trial ever of a former U.S. president. You've got all kinds of people that are going to testify in this thing. Trump decries it as political persecution, and he's correct on that sense. He's raised conflicts of interest about the judge, too, whose daughter is a Democrat donor and whose daughter is a Democratic consultant and former Kamala Harris campaign staffer. Just the News had reported that earlier this month. The liberal Democrat constitutional lawyer Jonathan Turley says this is a crazy case. Famous Roman philosopher and orator Marcus Tullius Cicero once said, the more laws, the less justice. By the way, you've heard me repeat that many times about a lot of these ticky-tack laws anyway, that we keep trying to pass so politicians feel good about themselves and look like a hero. The more laws, the less justice. Turley says this week New York's judges and lawyers appear eager to prove that the same is true for cases against Donald Trump. They've been scouring civil and criminal codes for any basis to sue or prosecute Trump before the upcoming election. This week will highlight the damage done to New York's legal system because of this unhinged crusade. Just a few weeks ago, another judge imposed a roughly $500 million penalty in a case without a single victim who lost a single cent on loans with Trump. Indeed, the bank officials testified they wanted more business with the Trump organization. Now, Bragg is bringing a case that's taken years to develop, millions of dollars in litigation costs for all parties, that is all over a crime from before the 2016 election that is a misdemeanor under state law that had already expired under the statute of limitations. Bragg previously scoffed at the case, but two prosecutors, Carrie Dunn and Mark Pomerantz, resigned and started a public pressure campaign to get New Yorkers to demand prosecution. Pomerantz shocked many in the legal community by publishing a book on the case against Trump, who was still under investigation and not charged, let alone convicted of any crime. He did so despite objections from his former colleague that such a book was grossly improper. Nevertheless, it worked. Then Bragg brought a Rube Goldberg case, convoluted, so convoluted and counterintuitive that even liberal legal analysts criticized it. It's a repeat of the case involving former Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards. In 2012, the Justice Department used the same theory to charge the former Democrat president candidate after a disclosure he had not only had an affair with filmmaker Riley Hunter, but also hid the fact he had a child by her. Edwards denied the affair, and money from donors was passed to Hunter to keep the affair quiet. The DOJ spent a huge amount on the case to show that the third-party payments were a circumvention of campaign finance laws. Edwards, though, was found not guilty on one count by the jury, and the jury deadlocked on the other five. And so they didn't bring a federal charge this time because they know it's not going to work. So Bragg then used the alleged federal crime to bootstrap a defunct misdemeanor charge into a felony in the current case. He's arguing Trump intentionally lied when his former lawyer, Cohen, listed the payments as retainer cost rather than a payment. Thus, if he had simply had Cohen report the payment as, quote, hush money, end quote, there would be no crime. Once again, the contrast to other controversies is telling. Before the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton's campaign denied that it had funded the infamous Steele dossier behind the debunked Russian collusion claims. The funding was hidden as legal expenses by then Clinton campaign general counsel Mark Elias. In fact, they got fined by the FEC, but no charges were brought. No charges stemming from the hiding of the funding, though it was all part of the campaign budget. Making this assorted business even more repellent, Turley says, will be the appearance of Cohen himself on the stand. Cohen recently was denounced by a judge as a serial perjurer who is continuing to game the system. Cohen has a long record as a legal thug who has repeatedly lied when it serves his interests. He has a knack for selling his curious skill set to powerful figures like Trump and now Bragg. For those of us who have been critics of Cohen from when he was still working for Trump, it's mystifying that anyone would call him to the stand to attest to anything short of the time of day, and even then most of us would check our watches. Fortunately, witnesses are no longer required to put their hand on the Bible in swearing to testify truthfully in court. Otherwise, the court would need the New York Fire Department standing by in case the book burst into flames. So is this case a serial perjurer used to convert a dead state misdemeanor into a felony based on an alleged federal election crime that was rejected by the feds? They could well succeed in a city where 9 out of 10 potential jurors despise Trump, however. And this is lawfare. This is what we see going on, folks. It's extraordinarily dangerous to the country. Now, there's another lesson, too. Don't live your life in such a way that brings these things about because it catches up with you. But having an affair and all that, those aren't felonies. They're not misdemeanors either, and entering an agreement not to talk about it is not even a misdemeanor. It's not against the law at all. This is terribly wrong, and it's, again, a sign that the country is dying. Today in Texas history, in 1836, Captain William P. Harris, commander of the steamer Cayuga, evacuated Harrisburg just ahead of Santa Ana and his troops. It's also the date in 1825, the 15th of April, that Hayden Edwards, Green DeWitt, and Robert Leftwich received impresario contracts from the government of Mexico once it had become separate from Spain. The Edwards colony near Nacogdoches was plagued by conflicting land claims and other controversies which caused Edwards to depart and resulted in the Fredonian Rebellion. The DeWitt colony on the Guadalupe River, adjoining Stephen F. Austin's, enjoyed some initial success, but DeWitt didn't fulfill the terms of his contract, and it goes on and on. That was April 15th, 1825, my friends. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by Lubbock's local title company, Hub City Title. They have in-house title examiners, makes them reliable and responsive. HubCityTitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. If you live in the Hub City of Lubbock, you need a title or escrow. It is your choice when you're buying property and that kind of thing. So go see them. Hub City Title, HubCityTitle.com. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get to the DEI stuff. It's been piling up since for 2 weeks. We'll see. But I've got a lot in the political campaign stack to get to. And I think that's what we'll do when we come back and probably push all the DEI stuff back. But there's more on that. And the press just continues their press on it. I think they misread the public on this. People don't like this stuff, and it looks like Republicans so far are standing strong against this stuff at our public universities. We'll see. We'll get into the campaign stack, though, in a moment.
During the break, log on to PrattOnTexas.com.
Today's vehicles require more electrical power from the battery than ever before, and Texas Battery will get you the correct battery. Even better, Texas Battery will install your new battery without a power loss, helping you avoid resetting your electronics. Service and specific knowledge sets Texas Battery apart from big box stores and franchised chains. Go to TexasBattery.com for more information or stop by Texas Battery in Lubbock for the correct battery for your vehicle. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock Leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank, Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Attention, big country property owners. Wildfires are no laughing matter. Have you done all you can to protect your property? Winters Dozer Service is ready to go to work building proper fire breaks to protect your big country property. Some counties may have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service today. Don't wait until it's too late and see your property up in smoke. Get in touch now by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. You know, elections and runoff elections, local, are excellent because they bring things out to the public that the public voters would not often never have known, including things that have been the case for years and nobody's ever mentioned it because local media is incompetent, doesn't care, or they're, you know, they just want to please the power holders and not tell you the truth. Often we learn just how slimy, from an ethics point of view or an integrity point of view, some of these state lawmakers are. And it can happen on all sides. I mean, far conservative, far left, whatever. But it seems to be rather commonplace amongst the deal makers, the insider deal makers. And it fits because it fits why they're there, what they enjoy doing. They want to be powerful. They want to do deals and this kind of stuff. And that's why we see more of it, I think, with those types. Patrick Hoff, the senior reporter for the Dallas Express, released a story on Sunday. State Representative Van Dever worked for anti-school choice lobbying firm. Now, he's one of the big guys, and he's one of the big establishment inside deal maker, you know, leans to the left a little bit within the Republican caucus guys in East Texas, New Boston. Here's how the part of the story reads. While in office and serving on education committees in the House, Representative Gary Van Dever was a paid consultant for a lobbyist group representing public schools. He later voted against school choice legislation that, you know, would allow families to use taxpayer money to defray the cost of private school or homeschooling. Van Dever, a member of the House Educational Opportunity and Enrichment Committee, listed the Powell Law Group on his personal financial statement under the, quote, sources of occupational income, quote, and under interest in business in common with lobbyists, end quote, sections for 2020, 2021, and 2022. The Powell Law Group aims to offer public policy and governmental affairs programs for school district leaders and businesses in the education space who want to influence local and state legislative and regulatory matters. This, by the way, is just another glimpse at this whole thing of taxpayer-paid lobbying to then lobby against the taxpayers and why we've got to get leadership change in the House. We have got to end taxpayer-funded lobbying. Vandiver, former superintendent at New Boston ISD, you know, he's one of these guys I've told you over and over. I've said it about many, who was elected to do nothing but get more money and less accountability to public school, the big public school district monopoly business. I mean, we're talking billions and billions. This is probably the biggest business in the state. He became a leading advocate against school choice. Told the Texas Tribune he was just totally against it. The Powell Law Group promotes several groups that openly advocated against the proposed school choice program. Texas Association of Rural Schools, Friends of Texas Public Schools, Texas Rural Education Association, and Texas Parent PAC. The Rural Education Association paid the Powell Law Group more than $18,000 to lobby for them. The Texas Association of Rural Schools paid the group over $41,000. Vandiver, who took office in 2015 and worked on the House Committee on Public Education, said he stopped working for the Powell Law Group about 2 years ago. Yeah, but he was on their payroll for doing work with them for years and years and years while he sat on the key committees. In fact, he claimed the Powell Law Group's not a lobbying firm, which of course is insane because they're on their own materials they lobby and they file as a lobbying firm. He said it's a law firm that focuses on education. There was nothing illegal or unethical about my past association, but they are a lobbying group, and they file as a lobbying group, and they say they're lobbying. That's how dirty Vandiver is. He'll say that. He's in the big runoff, folks. One of the incumbents in a big runoff. Rob Eisler, a lobbyist, former member of the Texas House, said he's never seen a lawmaker work for a lobbyist group. What struck me about the legality is that when I was a member of the legislature, I was allowed to be on that House floor and in the lounge and in the back hall, but I can't now because I'm a lobbyist. Lobbyists are not allowed on the House floor because they think there will be influence. Right. And this guy's doing work, being paid substantially by a lobby firm, and he's serving in the House and on the committees. Representative Steve Toth said it's unfortunately common for members of the ledge to work for lobbyist groups. He described the practice as unethical and said it should be made illegal. It's incredibly dishonest, he told the Dallas Express. For many members of the House, we serve with a stipend of $600 a month, but unfortunately, there are all too many people like Gary Vandiver who have found a way to monetize their service and walk away with untold wealth. It's really sad. Vandiver's actions have clearly demonstrated he's serving these entities with no interest in improving student outcomes. The Powell Law Group openly touted their employment of Vandiver in past years. Get this, what the Dallas Express dug up. This is like on the social media because they're using their hashtag, the hashtag PLG team. Powell Law Group team is attending today's House Public Ed Committee meeting to hear them discuss a list of public education bills. Heather Sheffield, our Director of Outreach, Advocacy, and Client Relations, is attending in the audience, and our consultant, Representative Gary Vandiver, serves on the committee, end quote. That was in 2021. Oh, and there's more. I just highlighted some of it. Now, do you think the people in his district really understood that? No. Did the local power people care? No, because they love to talk about how they really should run things, but they often have the biggest problems with integrity as well. And then Hagenboo, in this runoff for Senate District 30, gets recorded on a phone call telling people that getting rid of property taxes, even over time, is ridiculous. Quote, ridiculous. You see, you got to do the numbers. It's ridiculous. I mean, a lot of them say that out there say it, but we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. He just goes on and on. They have a transcript here at Current Revolt. That's out today. It's recorded. And what's so weird is he's got the backing of all these people, Dan Patrick and a bunch of others who are big on this issue. In fact, Patrick last week put that in his interim charges. And the Abbott's behind him. And then Don Huffine somehow sold out to him last week, too. This Hagenboo, he's the former Denton County Republican chairman who made an absolute mess of it. He didn't live in the district. He's now rented an apartment over there in SD 30. Was registered out of his office address, his trucking company. This guy, how did they get, and they ask here, with Hagenboo calling property tax elimination ridiculous, it does seem odd that those who have championed the idea would endorse him. And this is the kind of slimeball stuff going on. There was a very good piece by Brad Johnson at the end of the week last week at the Texan. Sid Miller, under consideration for Trump administration spot, says Abbott cut off his fundraising. Now, I've commented about this stuff before, about what the insiders, the governor and others, did to Sid Miller. They put out the word, you're going to be on the out list if any of the lobby gives the ag commissioner any money. It's because Sid Miller's, I don't agree with Sid on every issue, but he's been willing to stand up for his department and do what he's supposed to do and stand up against Abbott and people, and they don't like it. He was considered for the first Trump administration, by the way. This isn't new. But they are looking at him again, and there are others in the running for maybe U.S., the Secretary of Agriculture. And he doesn't know what he's going to do. He can't raise any money in Texas. He does go into this with the Texan, though, about Abbott cutting off his fundraising and stuff. And I think it just shows how nasty some of these folks are who claim to be big conservatives but don't really behind the scenes, they work more for the power crowd and the deal maker crowd. Gromer Jeffers Jr. has a really good long piece in the Dallas Morning News. Dallas donors rallied to protect Speaker Dade Phelan. Well, there's a bunch of them going for his opponent, but it's some of the big wealthy interests who have always been big pocketed donors. And it's a very good piece. I recommend it to you. But what you find with these people is that they often think the concerns of regular working people like us are laughable, especially in the culture wars. All they care about is money, power, government, hand up from government, maybe a hand down to their opponents and stuff. And it's just, and the story's right. It's part of the long internal war within the party about who do you really represent, the people or moneyed interests. The odds of me getting to the details in this story are very long, but I'm going to keep it in my stack for the rest of the week. Time has got me. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.